Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, atheists, free thinkers, agnostics, Christians, Muslims, anyone who just so happens to be listening. This is the very first Path of Reason podcast of the year. This is me, Derek Jones here, and I got Adam.
Hello. So I actually just wanted to let everyone know we got some feedback that there's some issues with the quality of the podcast. So this time we're going to try and see if we can make it sound a little better. You're going to have to bear with us because we're still learning as we record these and mix them up and that sort of thing. The only reason why the sound quality may not be as good is because I want to make the file size not too big so that you can download it, you know, quickly and just listen to it. So this time I'm going to try file size a little bit bigger, but let us know what you think, if you like it better, if you don't like it as much, or we'll go ahead and go from there. So
yeah, not to mention, I mean, I'm also expecting to get a better mic, but right. You know, we don't have like top-notch radio recording equipment, so again, if anyone wants to make a donation, buy a shirt or two to help us out,
why not?
Or if they have any suggestions on how we can make our podcast better. But we are getting a better microphone for my computer. Also, you know, if you have any ideas or any programs that we could use that would make our podcasts better quality, feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
All right, first order of business. I'm sure most of you guys have heard this. You know, been flooding blogs and websites and forums for a couple of days now. But on December 18th, 2007, Congressman Randy Forbes, Republican from Virginia, introduced House Resolution 888. It's a resolution affirming the rich spiritual and religious history of our nation's founding and subsequent history and expressing support for designation of the first week in May as American Religious History Week, for the appreciation of and education on America's history of religious faith. This resolution, which purports to promote education on America's history of religious faith, is packed with the same American history lies found on the Christian nationalist websites and in the books of pseudo-historians. Now, for those of you not familiar, 31 representatives in our country have already embarrassed themselves, demonstrating their lack of knowledge of our country's history and becoming co-sponsors of this resolution. Now, I'm not going to go over the entire thing, and I'm not going to, you know, overview the irrational claims made in it. We're going to include some links for you guys to check it out, but I really urge you, if you do check this out, to write your congressman. We're going to also include a couple of links on how to do that, because this is very important. This is a clear violation of the separation of church and state. And for those of you who actually care about separation of church and state, this is a really important issue for us and for you to become informed with, because in my opinion, I think that the government is trying to sneak this in under our noses because they know how much crap they run into whenever they do stuff like this. But one of the statements made in the bill itself, written by Representative Forbes, says that whereas upon approving the Declaration of Independence, John Adams declared that the 4th of July ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Now, Forbes is basically trying to make it sound like John Adams wanted this to be a religious holiday, but he is selectively picking what, you know, President Adams actually said and wrote. First mistake he made is that John Adams thought that what we know as the 4th of July should actually be celebrated on the 2nd of July. And he also said that, this is the exact statement in full for those of you wondering, I said, the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. That's where Forbes leaves off. Now, if you continue reading, it says, it ought to be solemnized with the pomp and parade with shoes, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. Now, restored into its original context, it's clear that Adam's statement was merely a prediction of the various ways in which this day might be commemorated in the future, not an opinion that it should be a religious celebration, which Forbes is trying to make it sound like. Now, the bill itself is filled with many more claims such as this, so I urge you guys to check it out, and, feel free to take a look at the links that we provide.
I actually just wanted to let everyone know that a really helpful website to sort of track these resolutions or bills and that sort of thing is opencongress.org. I actually found this resolution on that site, and it allows you to see if it's been voted on yet, when it was introduced, who the sponsors are, and just give you all the details regarding it. And you can actually sign on and give your opinion. For example, this one has, HR 888 has one thumbs up, one aye, and 14 nays. So that's a good thing. So far, there's two comments on it, and the first one is by someone who says they're a Christian, and they're saying how they have a problem with it, too. So this is not only embarrassing the, Congress people themselves, but it's also making some of the more reasonable Christians look bad as well. So,
I mean, we have nothing against learning religious history.
Right.
I have nothing against learning religious history.
Right.
I think if you want to take religious classes, knock yourselves out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important to learn about all religions, but the problem we have is with what is actually in the bill. The statements made are taken completely out of context in what we feel is a way for these congressmen to try to push a Christian agenda in our country and in our schools. That's what, we don't mind learning religious history. If they said we should devote a week to simply religious history and leave it at that, that's fine. But it's like, it's another attempt to, violate church and state, which, as we know, and every one of these congressmen who is a co-sponsor of this just so happens to be a Republican, and majority of them live in the Bible Belt, so it's not really surprising.
Right, and it actually says that the full text of the bill contains 7 references to the word Christian or Christianity, 22 to the Bible, and 4 biblical verses. So,
yeah,
it's not just, let's be religious this week. It's obviously Christian,
Yeah.
So it's not fair in any sense.
Exactly.
And also, actually, now that we're just talking about this, I wanted to recommend, even though I haven't read it myself, but I read an article about the author Robin Morgan. She just got the Humanist Heroine Award for 2007. And she wrote a very relevant book for this sort of topic. It's called Fighting Words, A Toolkit for Combating the Religious Right. I just want to read the synopsis for it real quick because I think it'll be really helpful for the times that are coming up now with all the politics and talk of religion and all that stuff. So it just starts out first with a few quotes from some of the founding fathers. Question with boldness even the existence of a God. Thomas Jefferson. Religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind. James Madison. I doubt of revelation itself. Benjamin Franklin. And my own mind is my church. Thomas Paine. And then it says, the religious right is gaining enormous power in the United States thanks to a well-organized, media-savvy movement with powerful friends in high places. Yet many Americans, both observant and secular, are alarmed by this trend, especially by efforts to erase the boundary between church and state, remaking the United States into a theocracy. But most Americans lack the tools for arguing with the religious right, especially when fundamentalist conservatives claim their positions originated with the framers of the Constitution, until now. Now it says, did you know that the Constitution contains not one reference to a deity on purpose? Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence did not mention, quote, endowed by the Creator, unquote. And then, in God we trust was not on our currency, and under God was not the U.S. motto until the McCarthyite 1950s. The 15th century Roman Catholic Church considered abortion moral. The Treaty of Tripoli, initiated by George Washington and signed into law by John Adams, declares, the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. James Madison, father of the Constitution, denounced the presence of chaplains in Congress and in the armed forces as unconstitutional. And Lincoln's first drafts of the Emancipation Proclamation and Gettysburg Address made no mention of any deity. And then it says, in fighting words, Robin Morgan has assembled a toolkit for arguing a verbal karate guide, a lively, accessible, eye-opening collection revealing what the framers and other leading Americans really believed, in their own words. She resurrects the founders as the revolutionaries they were. And then, in quotes, it says, a hodgepodge of free thinkers, deists, agnostics, Christians, atheists, Freemasons, and radicals. And it's only $11 on Amazon, so it's definitely worth picking up. I'm gonna buy it myself, and maybe we'll go ahead and put a review of it on the site as well. So
nice. I have been invited to once again, speak at the Separation of Church and State rally this year in Austin, Texas. I spoke there last year. It was my first experience at, you know, anything in Texas. But I'm going to do it again this year. I got the invite from Joe Zemecki, the organizer of the event. And, the date right now is not quite clear. Joe just wanted to set up, the list of speakers. But last year we had a really good turnout, and, we had a lot of great organizations represented, you know, like the Free Thought Team organizations and a lot of just groups around, you know, Texas and the country themselves come out for it. And, for anybody listening in the Texas area, anywhere between Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, you know, really try to, you know, plan it out. I know it's probably going to be sometime, you know, in the summer. So if you get a chance to, or, you know, we'd like to see a lot more carpooling and, you know, if people could come out and support, that'd be great.
Definitely.
We really need to show the country that, you know, atheists aren't like a silent minority, that we need to really make sure our voices are heard, because if not, we're just going to keep getting walked all over for the next couple of decades. So,
yep. And it's scary. With what Huckabee is saying, and Mitt Romney just got Nevada, right?
Well, his Nevada win wasn't surprising considering it's so close to Utah and there's a lot of Mormons in Nevada, but
right.
I think the entire overview of this election and the fact that it's just a mess, like every state they go to, somebody else wins, and
yeah.
I think that, you know, religion's a hot button issue this year, but it's important because, you know, people really need to know what they're talking about and what they believe and what the candidates believe. And I think that it's a very scary place when Mike Huckabee says that he wants to change around the Constitution that we've had in place for, you know, hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And he just wants to step in and switch it around so that he can remold this country as a Christian nation. Whereas, if he does that, he might as well try to kick Mitt Romney and the rest of the Mormons out of this country because,
right.
They don't think the same way he does. And
yeah.
It's basically like a slap in the face.
And he actually said, to quote him, he said he wants to, quote, amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards, unquote. And this is in response to, he's talking about his support for constitutional amendment defining marriage as between a man and woman and another protecting life. So you can bet that if, God forbid, Huckabee became president, oh my gosh, can you imagine that? They'd immediately, what would happen to the rights of homosexuals, you know?
Yeah.
And abortion would immediately be outlawed. Roe v. Wade would be overturned, like, no doubt, you know?
Yeah, I don't think people understand the struggle by some in Congress to try to create a theocracy, whereas they're trying to do it so it's not so noticeable.
Right.
And, you know, and again, I've stressed this point before, they don't realize that countries like Saudi Arabia and Iraq are theocracies where the religion rules, and look at the chaos caused there.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, America, if he changes it around and he becomes president and he changes the wordings of the Constitution, this country will no longer be free. It won't be free to Hindus. It won't be free to Buddhists. It won't be free to Muslims. It won't be free to Scientologists. It won't be free to anyone who believes in a different God than the Christian God.
Right.
And freedom of religion will mean jack. And, you know, freedom to worship your own gods will mean nothing. And if you're a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Scientologist, one of the immense, numerous religions that do not believe in the Christian God, well, then, if you vote for Mike Huckabee, you are an idiot.
Right. And then before you know it, you know, then I'm sure it wouldn't be long before the denominations were fighting amongst each other. You know, just like the Sunnis and Shiites, you know?
Oh, yeah. And so, we already have those issues.
Oh, yeah. Between the Protestants and Catholics and... But, I mean, wow, I just shudder at the thought of someone like him being a president. It's terrifying to me.
Yeah, you know, people need to get out and vote, too.
Yeah.
That's another big issue where it's like, you know, people sit around in our country and we complain and, you know, we're like talking about all these issues and talking about, you know, oh, you know, can you believe he said this and can you believe he said that? Well, do something about it, you know? Your vote matters. And I know in this country we're really down on the voting system and we're really down on, you know, the fact that we all think that our vote doesn't count, but that kind of mentality doesn't get us anywhere. So, you know.
Well, that's why I was talking about in the Electoral College thing, you know, just that, yeah, it's important to vote, but more importantly, we need to figure out a better, more effective voting system that that actually reflects the will of the people, you know? And not to be, like, pessimistic or anything, but what if we did encourage people to vote, you know? People like you and I and other free thinkers and other progressive liberal people might be sadly mistaken about the state of the country. Because if we say, oh yeah, you know, everyone get out there and vote, and then we turn around and we see, oh my gosh, the majority of the people have values and opinions that are completely at, you know, the opposite ends as ours, you know? And that's what I fear is happening or might happen in, like, this next presidential election, is that,
yeah
people are going to get out and vote, and we're going to find out that the majority of people in America are severely, you know,
crazy,
deluded and intolerant and, like, more conservative than we think them to be.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to look at it more from an optimistic point of view, whereas I don't think people are as crazy as some people make us seem.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, I mean, I think that, you know, the fundamentalist Christians and evangelicals have a lot of, like, loudmouths in, you know, like Pat Robertson and people like that. And I think that it's like the dumbest of the groups, you know, speak the loudest.
Right.
And I think for the most part, this country is, I would say, moderate and a little bit more open-minded, I guess, to where it's like, yeah, we continually see, like, this struggle on television for, you know, gay rights and marriage and all these topics. But I think that the biggest opposition comes from the media and a few people in the media representing it. But I think for the most part, people in our country are just kind of, like, relaxed about it and
right.
Just kind of like, hey, you know, I'm not an evangelical fundamentalist. I'm not an Islamic fundamentalist. I'm just here because I love America. And, you know, I don't, most of them are like, I don't want to vote because there's too much hassle and BS attached to it. So
maybe there's more reasonable people out there than.
Yeah, I think for the most part. I think, you know, obviously we're always going to have this struggle between, you know, religious groups or, you know, atheism and Christianity. But I think for the most part, people know what it means deep down to be a true, like, American, you know, and it's all about being free and, you know, obviously freedom within reason. You can't just go around murdering people. But I think for the most part, people are pretty lax on a lot of topics. It's just that we blow a lot of issues up in the media out of proportion to where we think it's more of a threat than it really is, you know?
Right. But I hope that's the case.
Yeah, me too.
But real quick, I just wanted to mention, this is slightly off topic, but I don't know if anyone's heard about it, the Expelled movie with Ben Stein in it. And it's got Michael Behe and a bunch of other scientists, quote-unquote, who support intelligent design and that sort of thing. And that's the whole premise of the movie. And I actually signed up for, like, email alerts so I could pay attention to, you know, what they're doing and that sort of thing. And I just got an email the other day.
My whole thing is, I always thought Ben Stein was smarter than that.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's why I was like, no, he can't be saying it. It's got to be a joke or something. But, I mean, he's going around starting to promote this movie, and he's actually serious about it. And it doesn't make any sense that someone as educated as he is could be so, you know, blind to the obvious evidence. But in the email, it says, Motive Entertainment launches Expelled Resources website for leaders, prepares for second national outreach tour. So they're just going around spreading the word about this movie. And it says, the site, www.getexpelled.com, is packed full of useful tools and resources to promote the ideas surrounding the history-changing film. And it gives, like, little bullet points, and it says, learn about new scientific evidence that invalidates Darwin's claims. Hear from scientists who are being silenced for those discoveries. Learn how to defend belief in God based on scientific evidence. And those are just a few of them, but it's completely ridiculous. But I just went to the website anyways to see, like, oh, okay, let me see where's this evidence that they're talking about, this new scientific evidence. I go to the website, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anything other than, like, you know, you can look at the trailer, sign up for updates. You know, there's really not much else. And I look at the bottom and it says, oh, okay, here's the resources coming soon. They have absolutely nothing up there. So that might just give you an idea of the kind of intelligence that we're dealing with here. And it's messed up also because they have a press room section on their site where it shows, like, different articles that are associated with the movie. And apparently they did actually get to interview prominent atheist scientists, you know, like Dawkins and some people from the National Center for Science Education. And they agreed to do the interviews, but they were deceived. Like, they were misled as to the whole basis for the movie. So when they're cut into the movie, they're edited to seem very intolerant and, you know, unaccepting of any other thoughts other than, you know, evolution and that sort of thing. I mean, which they're not, you know, totally intolerant. They're scientists, you know. They just go by evidence like most of them do. That's, like, a big issue that's, you know, going on with that movie as well. But I think it's definitely something we should keep our eyes on and try to speak out against as much as we can, because if they have evidence, I'd like to hear what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, do people not remember the Dover court case? I mean,
apparently not.
I mean, they continually disproved everything that Michael Behe, Professor Behe from Lehigh University said, and not to mention they had also found that he himself had not done his homework on evolution or any of the theories and claims that he was making in his books.
I guess what they're trying to do with this movie also is say how all these poor scientists, you know, these teachers, they're, you know, getting their tenure taken away and they're getting fired from their jobs and, you know, it's so intolerant and all this stuff. And it's like, no, it's not. You know, these scientists aren't being rational, you know? They're trying to work in religious beliefs and that sort of thing, and it's like, yeah, sure, talk about intelligent design in history class or something, you know, or some other class, but it's not science.
Or not at all.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's still a cultural phenomenon, and it's something that, you know, yeah, okay, if the Christians want us to mention it in school so bad, then you say, listen, welcome to history class. There's people out there who think God created everything. All right, moving on. You know, it's like,
yeah,
people already know that. The kids can't help but know that stuff. It's shoved down their throats all the time in almost every situation in this country.
Yeah.
And these, you know, Christians act like, oh, I'm being attacked, you know, our beliefs. And it's totally not the case.
I think they also, I think my biggest thing, and I think that there's an easy way to solve this, okay?
Mm.
The first thing that needs to happen is that our country needs to have, like, a live, nationally televised debate. National. I'm talking every channel, okay?
Right.
And they're going to do an intro and say, now, for those of you who care or don't care, we're going to settle this issue once and for all. And we're going to have scientists, educated scientists,
yeah,
who know, teach, understand evolution on one side. And then we're going to have, like, Michael Behe and Kent Hovind pull him out of jail for a couple of days. And all these other creationist propaganda artists who basically know nothing about evolution. And we're going to put them up against each other.
Uh-huh.
Creationists are going to make a claim. If evolution cannot prove something, then they lose.
Right.
But see, the thing is anyone with a critical mind should understand that instead of just believing everything they see on a creationist website, they need to take that information and see if it can be proven or disproven by evolution.
Right.
I mean, I have yet to find one creationist or Christian that I've ever talked to who says anything about evolution who can accurately give me the correct definition of what evolution is or even what intelligent design's theory is.
Right.
They're like, they forget that what they believe is that there was a magic garden that a snake convinced two naked people to eat from a tree.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
like, these stories are so absurd that anybody who literally reads them over and over again will realize that they're just myths, like no different than any of the other stories from, you know, the Aztec religions and all these other insane stories, you know?
Even so, if they're one of the Christians who don't take it literally, and they're still saying, you know, well, we still believe that God created, you know, man and that sort of thing, okay, you know, it's not as bad as the literal creation story, but still, you can't just say that. You have to provide evidence, just like in any science, you know. And they've yet to do that. They keep talking and they keep saying the same things, and nothing new is being said about it. So that idea would be amazing. I mean, that would be so awesome to see, like, a nationally televised event, you know. With,
yeah,
the real scientists on one side and the intelligent designers on the other side, and just hash it out. And it'd probably be it's not something that you could do even in an hour, I'd say. You'd have to do it for, like, an hour every night for, like, a week at the very,
yeah,
least. You know what I mean? Because you think about what the Dover case, you know, how long it took them to hash that whole thing out, you know?
Yeah.
But that would be so awesome. I wonder if there's actually a way to maybe suggest that to someone who might be able to organize something like that, because that would be so cool.
You know, as much as we'd like to think that it would ever happen, I really don't think that. I think what it really comes down to is that they know they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to also think about the financial gain a lot of them make by writing these, you know, books. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, degrade the intellect of your average Christian, but, I mean, they buy these books up and they eat this propaganda up, and it's very financially beneficial to a lot of these people. It's like, you know, okay, so what am I going to write another book about evolution? No, there's like a million of them out there. I think I'm going to write a book about creationism and how the Bible is true. And Christians are like, ooh, a scientist wrote a book. You know what I mean? And they eat it up. They like, I mean, it's unbelievable. Even all this like Left Behind nonsense and, you know, anything you can do to incite some kind of fear or anything to generate monetary gain for a church or a pastor or like a Christian scientist, they will do. It's like they don't understand how they're being like mentally and financially raped. It's bad enough they got to give up 10% of their friggin' paychecks.
I know, right?
But they don't get it. Like, even my mom, like, my own mom, like, eats this stuff up. And she's like, oh, you know, like, what's his face? Joel Osteen or whatever. Like, I'm like, Mom, this guy is a multimillionaire, and you are buying his books like crazy. He says nothing that you don't, you know, like, oh, but he talks about a perfect, purpose-driven life and blah, 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 and this really helps me. Yeah, you know what? Like, what in his books couldn't you have done on your own, you know?
It's like common sense, or not even that.
These guys are excellent salesmen and excellent speakers. That's the whole point of it. If you turn on any of these Christian preachers, it's all a show. It's like, who can talk the loudest and wave their arms and just say things that will get people riled up. It's fun. It's funny to see, you know, but for those of us who take the time to analyze and research everything, these people are full of crap and they just want your money and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it basically comes down to, these creation scientists like Kent Hovind, who, for anyone who takes their time to actually study, I mean, this guy was a scam artist. He's in jail for fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fraud involving millions of dollars, you know? So, you know, what do you think the, you know, motivation behind him was, to prove biblical legitimacy or to make money? You know, think about it.
I don't know. That would be nice, though, just to call them out and, you know, you said, just try and do a once-and-for-all type thing, you know, and just bury the issue and move on to more important things. Because, honestly, this is a huge waste of time. You know, think about how much more we could be doing in addressing real issues and stop, you know, wasting all this time on, oh, did an intelligent being create us? It's ridiculous. It's hard to believe that people actually are spending so much time on this issue.
Yeah, well, I think the easiest way for any atheist or agnostic or somebody who, you know, took eighth grade biology, what I usually do when I come in contact is I give the creationist a scenario. So I say, so you believe in creationism, but you're not trying to promote a Christian agenda, right? And they're like, no, you know. And I say, well, is it possible that a race of, you know, giant blue aliens from another universe intelligently designed and created our universe in a highly advanced scientific laboratory, you know, millions of years ago? And they're like, no, that's not possible. I'm like, well, why isn't it possible? They're like, well, there's no proof that these aliens exist. I'm like, oh, really? What else? And they're like, oh, well, I mean, what created the aliens? You know, and why don't they apply that same logic to their beliefs, you know, like when they're like, what created the aliens? And you know, it just kind of baffles me because they don't take into account the numerous other creation stories from many other cultures, even some predating, you know, Jewish folklore, so to speak. But I don't know, man. What are you going to do? But anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
All right.
Thank you for listening, and remember, check out the websites that we talked about.
Thanks for listening, and keep following the path of reason.